Very good morning to you all here in the hall. It's lovely to see so many faces. Of course, also welcome to those of our number that are at home and watching us from the comfort of their lounges. And it's wonderful to be here this morning, isn't it, to commence our worship together to start a new week. As mentioned, and as you can see, we have our brother Graham Parcell, who's shortly going to address us with words of exhortation. He has asked that we take a reading to introduce his thoughts, and we'll take that reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 15. Read verses 1 through to 15. Now, Brother Graham has given me a theme for today. Are you listening to the voice of God? Brother Graham Parcell to exhort us on the voice of God.
Thanks, Brother Ralph. I'm glad you didn't say the voice of God, Brother Graham Parcell. Although you and I have that responsibility, don't we, brethren and sisters and young people? We are trying to represent the words of God. It's lovely to see everyone back, particularly the front row here, our young people who have taken the average age down by 25 or 30 years at least. So, and it's lovely to see Sarah as well. We'll practice her German a bit more because someone said to her, Auf Wiedersehen, and you know we meant Guten Morgen, not Auf Wiedersehen, but Ralph can help us with our German on that. A big welcome to everyone that's listening online, and there's so many people that I'm not going to mention anyone by name because I will miss someone out. So lovely to see you all. Now, last week, you may remember our brother Tony Lyons exhorted us from Matthew 18, and he spoke about the things that we can learn about from children, particularly their humility. And I read a note in my Bible. A speaker once said this: children forget so completely and so quickly that there is no need for them to forgive. Forget so completely and so quickly there is no need for them to forgive. What if we were like that? It'd be amazing, wouldn't it? So what an inspiring thought there that I didn't make a note. I usually do of who said that. So, apologies to Ralph for not reminding him of the title. Are you listening to the voice of God? Man is unique, as we know, in God's creation, with his ability to speak and communicate so effectively. Our tongues for speaking and our exquisite ear structure for hearing are two of the wonders of God's creation and design genius. Our speech is unique in tone and character. Some are loud, some are soft, some are brusque, some are gentle. But we speak in different ways, maybe in different times, at different times. And used well, our words can create joy, healing, and positivity in others. But used badly, as we know, we have the power to hurt and offend for often years after the fact. People, as we've heard before, may not remember what we've said, but they remember how it made them feel. So we have to be very careful with our words, and those of us like myself who use quite a few words, as you know, particularly in exhortations, we need to be all the more careful because we're using more words and therefore we can make more mistakes. But those that are quiet shouldn't get to the end of the day and say, well, I did a good job today. I didn't offend anyone, because they may not have said that much and therefore not have been in a position to offend people. But I'm sure you know what I mean. Each of us has to look to ourselves. The Pharisees used their words very badly, didn't they? They left people without a hope, whereas Jesus brought emotional, physical, and spiritual healing in his dealings with men and women, and he took them to a better place. Words at their worst can be used to outrightly deceive and trick, and we know that the classic world example of that is the special operation that's going on in the Ukraine. What a nasty way of what a seemingly pleasant way of mentioning something that is evil and nasty. And so if we look at many aspects of society, we can see the results of men and women ignoring the ways of God and the voice of God and the very existence of God. And so you and I need to ask ourselves, both individually and corporately, Are we proclaiming the relevance of the Word of God to each other and outside these doors? Classic example these days, I'm sure we've all seen that photograph. I mean, Putin is not a man known to holding hands with people, is he? Let alone another man. And yet there he was with his hands up in the air, holding the hands of the Turkish and the Persian leader, straight out of Ezekiel 38. And they're very accomplished speakers, much better than I can to go into the details. But we have such a relevant and incredible word of God at our disposal. It's unbelievable. We're seeing these things unfold. We don't know what the timescales are, but to have a book that was written so many thousand years ago to be bang up to date with such a graphic picture of those three nutters holding hands is just incredible. You'll remember when Paul was at Athens, he saw a little tiny idol in the corner and he said, "What's this one?" And they said, "That's the unknown God." Well, if Paul was here today, I think he would have to re-explain to people in Australia, people in Europe, people in the US, people in the world, just who the unknown God is. Because God is falling out of people's minds. We're not listening to the word of God in the world. So that begs the question, doesn't it, young and old? What voice or voices are you currently listening to? Well, I suppose they could fall into media or social media, as we call it, or as I call it, antisocial media. Well, on our social media, we listen to world news. That's me. Podcasts, websites, YouTube, Spotify, Twitter, Instagram. I'm probably going to leave some out, young people. Facebook, even TikTok. Even magazines and paper and newspapers made out of paper. Remember this? Remember paper? I've actually handwritten my talk for once, actually, and I actually quite enjoyed it because I love writing, and I think I might do that in future, as long as I can read my own writing, because us GPs, as you know, are not very good at writing. Boom, boom. So, this is not a content criticism, because there are some great things on websites, podcasts, and all those other social media types that we mentioned earlier, but really the voices fall into three categories, don't they? There's the godly voice, there's the neutral voice, and then there's the unhelpful, the bad voice. But people have in the main stopped listening to the Bible and God's viewpoint. Instead, in the main, they might categorize it as listening to the universe or the voice within. Now, it's okay if your voice within is a godly voice, that's great. And our inner voices should be from God. But that's not always the case, is it? In today's world, we're short of many things, aren't we? We're short of energy, gas and oil. There are food shortages going around the world. And it was so disappointing this morning, wasn't it, to wake up and see that just after an agreement had supposedly been made with Turkey, Ukraine and Russia to allow the port of Odessa to ship grain to other countries, so disappointing but yet so predictable that Russia sent several missiles right into the grain terminal. I mean, what do you call that? I don't know, just evil, I think. So, oil shortages, gas shortages, food shortages, moral shortages. However, I'll tell you one thing that we have never run out of or never had a shortage of. Opinions. Opinions. They are everywhere, aren't they? Whether it's on social media or whether people are out on the street. Sometimes for a reasonable cause. But whether it's the voice of social media or the voice of public opinion, that's one thing that there is no shortage of. And so, of course, the voice that's missing in our world currently is the voice of God. The voice of reason, the voice of peace, the voice of diplomacy, the voice of humility, the voice of encouragement. We should see all of these things, and we do, at work in the ecclesia. Timothy tells us, Paul's letter to Timothy, that the word of God is able to make us wise unto salvation. And in Hebrews, it's able to carve up between soul and marrow and joints. In other words, the word of God is able to open us out and show us how we really are, but then, of course, take us to a better place. Wonderful words through Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2. When referring to the brethren and sisters in Thessalonians, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So these are the types of attitudes that please God. And in that chapter, in the next couple of verses, he talks about how Paul was a mother, nurturing them as an ecclesia. And that's what we're supposed to do. As we're in the ecclesia, we're mothers and fathers, nurturing young and old and encouraging people. And we do, but we need to do it more, don't we? We know when people are freshly baptized, that joy and that singleness of mind they have to serve God. And I think that's reflected in Acts 2, where in verse 42, it talks about the new fellowship of believers. And there were hundreds and hundreds of them that listened to the voice of Paul, particularly at Pentecost, and the other disciples, Peter. Yes, I just thought that when someone said Peter. Thank you, Brother James, there. And so in verse 42 of Acts 2, it's entitled in my Bible, The Fellowship of the Believers. And it says, I quote, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So, I know, you know, us older ones, we're always banging on. And I've actually, just so I don't sound hypocritical, I've had a serious word with myself recently because I thought I'm not reading the Bible enough. So Jenny and I think we're on our fifth day at the moment. So bear with us, we're getting there. Doing the readings, the daily readings. And I think I've been to the Bible class 3 times in a row. Apologies, I think Ralph is chairing on Wednesday because I won't be here, I'm afraid. But I'll, God willing, be here the next week. But I had a word with myself and I said, look, you know, you're doing stuff with your time, but you're not at the Bible class regularly. And so I intend in my life, and I'm just confessing my faults here, I intend in my life to be an attender of the Bible class regularly. I'm not making anyone here or listening online feel guilty. Everyone has their story. Everyone has their situation. And so we can listen from home, and that's fine. But I had a word with myself. Because basically the point I'm saying is it's quite simple to listen to the voice of God. It's very simple. It's so simple that people like me forget. We have to read our Bibles. We have to be at the meetings as far as we are physically able. You know what I'm saying? We have to have more fellowship with each other. We have to listen to the voice of God and act upon it. Be obedient to the will of God. There's no point in just reading, you know, blah, 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 blah. Oh, great. And then going to be nasty to somebody. We have to be hearing doers, as Paul, as James says in his epistle. So, the theme, as you know, is are we listening to the voice of God? Now, I never miss an opportunity to mention creation. I'm certainly not going to miss one now. Because in Psalm 19, that is God speaking to us. We know the words, let's remind ourselves. And the Hayes telescope recently showed us the wonder of out there in the distance of space, we've seen these incredible clusters of stars, which actually turns out they're actually galaxies. So maybe there will turn. There's more stars than grains of sand. Maybe we might find out one day there are more galaxies than grains of sand. Just putting it out there, because things are getting more and more amazing. So my dad always used to say, every time we read something about a new discovery in science, it's always, wow, I didn't know that. It's more amazing than we thought. It's never simpler than we thought. It's always more complex. What do we expect with a God that is so unbelievably powerful? He can just say, yeah, I made the stars also. That throwaway sentence. We've heard it before, but he made the stars also. So Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the word of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. So God speaks in his creation in the hope that we may hear and respond and praise him. Creation is the voice of truth. Evolution is the clanging falsehood of man. But creation is the resounding voice of God's truth. Here's another one for you, young people. You might like this. Next time you brush your teeth and you see a few drops of water, in 10 just reasonable sized drops of water, I don't know who's counted these, but we are told that in 10 drops of water, there are as many H2O, that was water when I was at school, there are as many water molecules in 10 drops of water as there are stars in the universe. And so whether you're going tiny or big, God's power is absolutely astounding in creation, isn't it? As I think I may have said on previous occasions. So the perfect partnership with God, as with any relationship, is a balance of listening and speaking. Sorry you got to hear me for half an hour or so this morning, but sometimes we're listening and sometimes we're speaking, aren't we? But I just thought to myself that, number one, reading our Bibles and being out in God's creation is the listening part. That's us listening to him. And then by the same token, prayer and communing with God is talking to him. So we have the listening, which is reading our Bibles and observing creation and being with each other. We can see God and Jesus in each other. And the prayer is talking to him and communing with him. And of course, as we said, we need a balance. But we need to use our voices, as we know, in praise and thanks. And Philippians 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And so, if there were an equation, I suppose the voice of God plus the listening ear equals action. So the voice of God plus the listening ear equals action. That's how it should be, isn't it? Active listening to our exhorts, dare I say. Active listening in our reading of the word. And active listening to God's response when we pray, because he is listening. But, Graham, our exhorters need to be practical, and we need to go out of our way to give people something to take home with them to apply in their lives. So my Kent often refers to the take home, which is good because it focuses our mind on what we need to act upon. But the take home message, if you like, from today is very simple. You know what it is. It's read your Bibles more, pray more, and come to the meetings more. And that will transform yours and my life. We know that. I've been to 3 Bible classes in a row now. I've done my readings for 5 days in a row. Wow, whoopee-doo. Not much of an effort, Graham. But I tell you what, it's made such a difference to me. And I'm not being one of these speakers, you know me better than that. I'm not one of these speakers that says, you know, do your daily readings and come to the meetings and all that formality. But when actually you boil it down, You're not just coming to the meeting for you. You're actually coming to the meeting to encourage and lift up others. That's enough in itself, in my book. If you don't feel like coming to the meeting for your sake, come for somebody else's sake, because I guarantee you'll enhance and improve their life. So I think I've made that point. Jenny, if she was here, would be going like this now, I think. Come on, Graham, get on with it. So it's a two-way relationship in all of our relationships, whether it's with our fellow humans or whether it's with God. And Psalm 116, I'm not sure what the verse is, but as you know, the Psalms are littered with, I spoke to the Lord and he heard my cry. I reached out to the Lord and he answered me. And in Psalm 116, we read, I love the Lord, for he heard my cry. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. So it's a bit like a vicious circle, isn't it? I called to the Lord and he heard me. And so I heard him and I praised him and he listened to me and I heard him. And it's that wonderful relationship cycle that we can have with God. We listen to him, he listens to us. He talks to us, we talk to him. Bob Lloyd, we were just listening. I didn't listen to it all, but the girls were listening to Bob Lloyd last night. I mean, I love him to bits. He's still as relevant as he was all those decades ago. But he said, if we listen to God, he will listen to us, in that sort of accent. And so once we've heard the word of God, you and I, and I'm saying all these things to myself today, and I know it's not just that simple, you know, read your Bible and say your prayers and everything will be all right. We have, and in this ecclesia, we've had some incredibly challenging things happen to us over the past few years. And yet we see the faith of brethren and sisters coming to see us and coming back to us and putting their faith in God, even though we don't always know the whys and the wherefores. I think James would have been a Nike man because, this is the epistle to James, because he, instead of saying, you know, just do it, like Nike, he said, be hearing doers. And he would say, just do it. Just do the will of God. So I think James was very contemporary with us. So we've got three choices, haven't we, in anything we do. We've got the choice of not to, in this context, not to read the Bible and therefore not do it. We've got the second choice is to read it but not do it. And then the third choice, which we want to do, is to read the Bible and act upon it, isn't it? And we know that we oscillate from the second and third options there. So, in a sense, we have touched upon that, but you might ask the question, how do we listen to the Word of God? What can we put in place to assist that? Well, in essence, I think it's a decision to replace some of the time you're spending doing this and reading the Word of God. For example, I like walking, and often when I'm walking, I listen to music, contemporary music. Then times when music was music from the 70s, 80s and 90s, and some very sort of up-to-date stuff as well. But then I thought, hold on, you know, why don't you try listening to David Suchet, you know, Poirot? He's got the whole of the Bible on YouTube. I can see some nods there. He's got such a beautiful voice, and it's not one of these American voices, you know, in the beginning, God spoke. This is a really beautiful, you know, got to say, English voice, and it just really, for me, captures the scriptures. So there's one idea, but sometimes we have to replace something, don't we? We have to replace the voice of man with the voice of God. So, another question you may say to yourself is, what voice do you have? Not, you know, do you speak with an Australian accent or a German accent, or, you know, you're bilingual, or just speak English, or if you speak with an American accent. More specifically, is yours the voice of doom? Or is it the voice of optimism? Is it the voice of joy? Do we speak with the encouraging voice of the Apostle Paul when we're speaking to others? We know the people we go to. If you want to feel jolly and cheerful, then you speak to a Ralph or a Ken, don't you? And there are others that are more serious, and if you want a serious view on something and a really, really well thought out view, then there are people you go to. So we all have our part to play. But do we speak, as I said, with the encouraging voice of the Apostle Paul? Do we speak with the wisdom of Solomon or Abigail? Her ability to just, you know, Nabal on one hand and David on the other, just that wonderful, you know, female ability just to balance the sides. Do we care, like the example of Jesus? Do we act with the humility of Moses? Do we have the faith like Joseph and the ability to see other people's point of view, even though when you're in prison? We have a voice, we have ears to hear, we have hearts to care, we have minds to think, we have hands and feet to act and to help. Saying this to myself as well, what are you doing with your faculties? Graham, what are you doing with your faculties? People listening. I tell you one thing that you can do without any effort at all. You and me, we're all so good at this one. This voice, the voice of criticism. It's the easiest thing in the world just to sit back and watch someone else doing something and say, you know, he should have said that. It was too long. It was too this, it was too that. Or, you know, she should have said that. Or she focused on that when she could have done this. Or he did this. And, you know, we're very good, aren't we, you and I? But let's try and be positive. I know you're going to rush up to me after and say, it was fantastic. Excitation, Graham, because you won't want to upset me. But no, tell me if you think you know, there was something else that I could have said, and I'll try and take it on board. So, Brother Daniel, our resident step-in brother, don't abuse him, but you know, Daniel's willingness to step in where needed has to be commended. So, I'll embarrass you there, Daniel. We'll just leave it there. But you know. If you've got something you can do, if there's some help you can provide, if there's some encouragement, if there's a job that needs doing and you can step in, then I'm sure we would all be very encouraged by that. And we are. You know, there was a spot free on the door there, and Joe Clifton filled it. So, you know, we are doing what we can, aren't we, brethren and sisters? So our reading was Romans 15. The first 15 verses. We just want to touch on the first five, which you've probably seen already. And I can see that this happens in our ecclesia, and of course we need to keep allowing it to happen, don't we? Or keep facilitating it. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but, as it's written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything, here's the scriptures coming, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we may have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful set of verses from Paul. He was a wonderful man, the Apostle Paul, wasn't he? You know, in prison he'd be singing away and praising God that people were able to see his witness in prison, and also that the ecclesias might be encouraged because the gospel was being preached. He said, didn't he? Paul's bottom line was, as long as Christ is preached, I'm happy. Unbelievable. Are you like that? Am I like that? So when we speak with one voice, when we speak with one mind, we have unity, and unity brings peace. And there's not enough of that in our world, isn't it? It doesn't mean to say that we all have to believe exactly the same jot and tittle, But we're speaking with one voice, we're speaking in unity. And I think that I don't want to sort of pat us on the back too much at Hyde Park, but I think we're in a good place. And let's stay there and let's encourage others. Because I think we are unified and I think we do speak with one voice. And God is pleased with that. So in Deuteronomy 5, where Moses delivers the Ten Commandments, we read in verse 22, he says, "These are the commandments the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly." Tracking down to verse 27, he says, "Go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord God our God tells you. We will listen and obey. The Lord heard when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me," this is Moses speaking, "I have heard what this people said to you. Everything they said was good. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever." Oh, that it had stayed there, really. "Go, tell them to return to their tents. But you, Moses, stay here with me so that I may give you all the commandments, decrees, and laws you are to teach them to follow in the land I am giving them to possess." So, two more verses. "Be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or the left. Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess." That's how it could have been if they'd fully serve God. But we know there is a time coming when they will yet, as a people, the Jewish people will realise that it was Jesus whom they pierced. So, we're going to look at a couple of verses. I'm going to read them out from Hebrews in a minute. But in relation to the weather, become aware, it could be the economy, it could be the weather, or the situation in Ukraine. But I've heard quite a few times recently, particularly when it's in the weather, and you're thinking of the poor souls in Queensland that have been flooded two or three times in a very short space of time, within less than a year. And the newsreaders say, with that ominous voice, "And things are going to get worse." And you think, oh my goodness, if they haven't suffered enough in this land or that land. I thought, what a wonderful contrast in the most emphatic way we have in the book of Hebrews, which uses the word "better" to the max, as you might say. I just looked up the original word for "better," as it's mentioned 2, 4, 6, at least 7 times in Hebrews, and it means stronger or more powerful. So here's the verses. If you want to make a note of them, I can give them later if you want me to. But this is the word "better" being used in terms of Jesus and the new covenant as opposed to the old covenant. So in Hebrews 1, verse 4, bearing in mind that "better" means stronger and more powerful. "Jesus is better than the angels." Chapter 7, verse 19, "a better hope." Same chapter, verse 22, "a better testament." Chapter 8, verse 6, "a better covenant with better promises." Chapter 9, verse 23, "a better sacrifice." Chapter 10, verse 34, "a better and lasting possession." And then in Chapter 11, that wonderful faith chapter, verse 35, "a better resurrection." Now, it's not us that should be thanked, it's God. But we have a better hope, because we have the hope of God and the hope of Jesus, of a better time to come. Jesus has been speaking, going to the first chapter of Hebrews. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and by whom, or through whom, He made the universe. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation or the express image of his being. So, in other words, looking at Jesus, you see exactly the way God would have treated people. And so we just got a couple more minutes and we're just trying to lead our thoughts to the breaking of bread and the wonderful example of the Lord Jesus, our Saviour and our friend. My dad's favourite chapter, as I said before, was Romans 12. It is one of the dynamite chapters of Scripture. It's absolutely packed with stuff that we could do for a lifetime and just affect other people's lives in an incredible way. It talks about a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed, verse 10, to the pattern of this world. And young people and us older ones, you've got so many pressures and so many things squeezing you at the moment. If you're on Twitter, if you're on Facebook, if you're on TikTok, make sure you're at least looking at neutral stuff. Don't, if you're watching films, don't make them gruesome films. There's plenty around, you know, just leave all that stuff alone, the violence and all that nonsense. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. So what we're looking for, you and I, isn't it, is God's truth. We can tell people of God's purpose. We can tell people about the wonder of God's word, the power of God's ways, the influence of God's opinion or viewpoint. It's a choice, a decision we have to make, isn't it? That's the how. So many exhortations, and I hope this is not one of them, leave us with a, well, how do I do that? And I hope the message, well, it might be a bit flat, might be a bit boring for you, is just read your Bible more. Just pray more, Graham. Just reach out to people and enhance their lives. See what you can do. Or let people do some things for you. You know, our brother Jeff and Sue have been amazing examples, and I'm sure we all know, but today's a very special day, because as I believe is true, I think Sue is, I was going to say released, Sue, you'll know what I mean by that. Sue is being, what's the word, the hospital word? Discharged from hospital. I think it's the same for prison as well. Sorry, Sue. But we'd be delighted in the fullness of time to see yourself and Jeff back with us. And, you know, you're a wonderful example to us all. And you've taken us and God through this journey. And there are others in other situations. I'm not going to put the spotlight on. But other people in our ecclesia who have just been incredible examples in the face of their adversity. And you know, we thank you. As an ecclesia, we thank you for your faith and for your being with us and for helping us all to worship together. Now, 415. Sorry, don't be, when we read the last hymn, sing the last hymn rather, don't be confused that we're in the evening service, because it's the breaking of bread. But I just couldn't resist verse 2. As it always gives a bit of a lump in my throat, but not for that reason this time. As o'er each continent and island, the dawn leaves on another day. The voice of prayer is never silent, nor dies the strain of praise away. So when you're singing that, make sure that you and I, that our voice of prayer is never silent. Even if it might be, look, I don't even know what to pray, Lord God, today. Please help me, or please just help me to be a better person today in Jesus. Amen. Whatever it is. Make it your decision. Decide to pray more and to give whatever's troubling you at the moment. Don't forget to use the resource of the creator of this world, your creator. What a wonderful resource we have, reading the word of God and having full access to the God of creation. It's unbelievable, isn't it? I know we've said it many times before, we know it to be true, but it's just life-changing, and it's really such a privilege, isn't it, brothers and sisters and young people, to have the God of creation, who made all this, and who knows us better than we know ourselves, to have him on our side. and the Lord Jesus whom we remember now. In John 10, we read of the good shepherd and his sheep. And the amazing thing is that, as per usual, you know, Jesus is prophet, priest, king, saviour, counsellor, friend. In John 10, he's the gatekeeper in verse 3. And interesting, in verse 5, it says, verse 3 first, the sheep listen to his voice. There's the listening again. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 5, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him. Stranger danger. We've heard it at schools, haven't we? Because they did not recognize a stranger's voice. So we need to keep tuning in. The only way to tune into the voice of Jesus is to talk to fellow believers who believe in Jesus, to pray to the Father and the Lord Jesus, and to listen to the words of Jesus and meditate upon them. That's the way we listen to the voice of God. So Jesus is the gatekeeper in verse 3. He's also the gate in verse 9. He's also the good shepherd in verse 13. Because he gave his life to do all these things for us, and he lives to help us still, the resurrected Lord, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the shepherd, good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And verse 3, they know my voice. We sang earlier, didn't we? I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Jesus represents the voice of God and how he views and treats his people. And so, finally, just have a look maybe when you get home, the words of Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. You remember there's the one man that puts his talent in the ground and it doesn't grow and it doesn't shrink. There's the other one that receives two talents. And he's got another two talents. And then there's the one with five talents. And he's got another five. So you've got one, here's the one. Two, here's another two. And five, here's another five. And of the man with five talents, Jesus says, and so he says, in verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you can hear that beautiful hymn that we sing, can't you? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, it's a beautiful. I mean, they're the words. This is the point of these final few words. They're the words that we want to hear, isn't it? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've run the course. You've done your, not mine. Your best is better than mine, I'm sure. But Graham, you've done your best. Ralph, you've done your best. Kat, you've done your best. Joe, you've done your best. Joe, you've done your best. Daniel, that's what we want to hear, isn't it? You've done your best. Welcome into my kingdom. Well done, that good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The one to two talents, he came and said, you've gained two more. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Has been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And so, as we break bread now and remember the wonderful example of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's make a commitment, can I say, to ourselves this week, to just turn the volume up a bit on the voice of God in our lives through prayer, through attendance, either here or online, and listening to the Word of God. And I can guarantee that we will have a better week.